Okay, let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Mary, Queen of Peace, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Number 90, January 2nd, 1930, from volume 27. Now, you must know that man was created by us with this prodigy. He was to possess within himself our continuous act of divine will. By rejecting it, he lost the act and remained with the effects, because we knew that just as the earth cannot live without at least the effects that the sun produces, if it does not want to live in the fullness of its light and of its heat, the same was for man. He could not live without at least the effects of our divine will, since he had rejected the life of it. Therefore, its kingdom will be nothing other than calling back the continuous act of our divine fiat operating in the creature.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Before we go to the writings, let's go a little bit to the catechism to look in the section of Adam that the catechism talks about the fall and how Adam, by using his will, the will that the free will that God has given all of us, by referring to Adam, the will that he was given as a gift in creating him, and this will allow him to correspond to God, allow him to love God in the way God is satisfied, and it also allowed God to give to the creature, in this case of Adam, more of himself. So this is the way he was growing in the likeness of God, becoming more and more and more like his father. By the virtue of this union that he possessed, just by virtue of being created, it was a gift that God bestowed upon him. And by rejecting this gift, by choosing to do what he was not supposed to do, then he lost this gift, and now he find, right after the fall, he finds himself now that he feels himself, he sees himself exposed, he's fearful, he hides. And this is also, this is a consequence of him withdrawing from the will of God, departing from that union in which he was created. So when the church talks about this, it, that's the teaching of the church, that by departing from that union, then the whole human race was basically infected. We participate of the fall, the consequence of the fall. And even St. Paul talks about that in his letters, that we are all implicated in Adam's sin. We participate of the consequence because he was supposed to be the first one, and through him, we were supposed to receive the gift, and now we receive the opposite. So in numeral 399 of the Catechism, this is what the Church says. Scripture portrays the tragic consequences of the first disobedience. So we know this in the book of Genesis, the first two chapters, the third chapters of the book of Genesis, we find that story. And we see that then original sin is basically the absence of the divine will operating in men. Now, man finds himself exposed, fearful, because there is the absence of the divine presence there, continuously giving himself, the Blessed Trinity, giving himself to man. That's what the Catechism says. The Catechism says that this way of the original justice or the original state of holiness, it was a participation, a sharing of the divine life, the Blessed Trinity constantly sharing the divine life, basically sharing herself. I mean, the Blessed Trinity sharing all that the Blessed Trinity is. So you may think or you may ask, so what was the Blessed Trinity then? What was what the Blessed Trinity was sharing? So we then look into what God is, all the attributes of God. So what God was sharing with man, with Adam, in that union in which he was created, was sharing himself. So his love, his mercy, his beauty, all of that, he was sharing all of that with Adam, basically filling this vessel with himself. So he, of course, he was growing in according to his own capacity as a creature is able to contain, he was able to receive. And that was the way he was growing in that likeness of God, becoming more and more like his father. But by departing, by disobeying, now in that disobedience, we find that he finds himself losing that gift. So then we can say that original sin is basically the absence of the divine will operating in men. So that's why in baptism we are filled again with the Blessed Trinity. We become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. So it's erased, because now where there was the absence of God, now we find the presence of God. So now the Blessed Trinity is sharing, God is sharing his life with the creature, begins that union again, that what our Lord Jesus paid on the cross now is being actualized in the sacrament of baptism. So there are, those are the channels. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, she mentions something like this in her lessons. And then she mentions that all the sacraments, they are channels through which God participates, gives his life to the creatures. So we can see that in baptism, that divine presence, the divine will now is being basically restored in the creature, and the creature begins operating in that way with the divine will operating in him, in her. But now that we have these writings, we now learn how to continue that operation that we receive in baptism, because in baptism that gift of being able to possess the divine will in us is being restored in baptism. It's just that we don't know that it's there, and we do not know how to operate it. So now that's why it is so important, these writings, and particularly that we are studying or reading the writings of Luisa Picaretta, the entries that that refer to Adam, is so that we may learn what Adam was doing, and from there we can see the whole picture, we can understand the whole thing, so that now every one of us may begin his her journey back towards that direction. And this is where our Lord is pointing us, even in the Gospels. We hear in the Gospel, for example, of Matthew 5:48 is the call that our Lord is mentions, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So we are all called to attain, to go to that perfection. But I will say that without this gift operating in us, we will always be imperfect. No matter how virtuous you are, how prayerful you are, and I'm not saying don't be like that. This is all part of the journey. And all of this should bring us to this point, to understand our final end. How do we begin operating in that gift? How do we begin operating the gift that it was given to us in baptism? And now we have the manual, how to operate that gift in us. So when the Lord says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, this is the way of perfection. Only in this way will we be able to give perfect glory, perfect honor, perfect adoration, perfect thanksgiving, perfect corresponding to God. Only in this way. And what the church has taught us throughout all these more than 2,000 years should bring us to this point now. And now that we are trying to understand this with the faith, we should be able to understand the writings and what the gift is about, so that we may make progress in this way of living. The Catechism continues and it says that Adam and Eve immediately lost the grace of original holiness. So remember, the grace of original holiness consisted in being united with the will of God. And what this union was doing in the person of Adam, it was filling Adam with God himself according to his own capacity. That's why he was always groaning and groaning. In other sessions, I mentioned that Adam didn't have to do his prevenient act because he already was in possession of that union. But for us, that we still have to learn. That's why passages like that passage that I'm always mentioning also from volume 14, May 27, 922, is very important to understand it, so that in that way we may understand also the whole way of living in this union, or going back to that original state of grace. Because in that original state of grace, then we open ourselves to receive, and God is in the position to give, just by uniting ourselves. There is a passage in one of the writings, one of the letters, correspondence of Luisa Picaretta, and Luisa Picaretta teaching the way of living in the divine will. She says, to live in the divine will is not a matter of words. It's a matter of being united with the will of God. It's not a matter of saying so many, many, many things, but it's a matter of being united with the will of God. So as soon as we wake up and we express ourselves, our intention to be united, to give ourselves to God, that the will of God may operate in us, then that covers everything. Of course, you can add a lot of things, all of that you want, but the point is that we must learn how, we must understand. And I'm giving you this passage always because it's important that you meditate and you really understand what this means, because this will bring you into that position, into that openness to receive the will of God to operate in you And to have that constant awareness of the presence of the divine will operating in you. And the Catechism again says that this original state of grace consisted in sharing. So again, why do I keep mentioning this passage? Because that allows God to share his life with you. Not only when you go and receive the sacrament or the sacraments, but constantly now at every single moment. So the church says they become afraid of God, of whom they have conceived a distorted image, that of God, a jealous God. So in studying these passages, then we see that the church talks about Adam being created in that union and the consequences and all of that. So in this particular passage, when our Lord reveals to Lucifer Becerreta that by rejecting the divine will, he lost the act and remained with the effects. He lost the divine will and remained with the effects of the absence of God operating in him. But also, when Adam lost the gift, and I also, this is what God is, Jesus is mentioning, is that by rejecting the divine will, he lost the act of operating and the effects also, and remained with the effects, because we knew that just as the earth cannot live without at least the effects that the sun produces, if it does not want to live in the fullness of its light and of its heat. Basically, the acts done in the divine will, in that union, the acts that Adam did before the fall, allow him, it was because of those acts that God basically was able to give us the promise of the future Redeemer. It was because of those acts that the sun didn't disappear, that everything that was created didn't go back, didn't disappear. Because that at the fall, this is basically what we deserve. To just disappear. To go back to that void that the book of Genesis talks about. It was because of the acts done in the divine will that we can say those are the effects that allow, or that God was able to promise the Redeemer and for him to keep him basically in existence. So when the Lord says, when you call the divine will, the kingdom of the divine will, you are doing nothing else than asking the gift to come back, to return, asking God to give the gift again to all of us, that the gift may operate in the creature. This is a very important phrase, because it's not only to have the divine will, because remember, that gift is given to us in baptism. The reconciliation happened. We received that gift, the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And now it needs to operate in us, as it operated in the Blessed Virgin Mary by grace. In Adam also was by grace. It was given, freely given. In our Lord Jesus, we know that is by nature, because he's God himself. And in Luisa Picaretta, by learning how to dispose herself, and also by learning from our Lord Jesus himself. So basically, what we are asking again with every single act that we do is this, asking the divine will to come and to operate, to continue that work that was paused in Adam, now to continue in us, basically to press the play button now, right? To continue that this way of life may continue, that the divine will may operate in all of us. And in that way, we will truly be resembling the Blessed Virgin Mary in the way she operate. Then the Blessed Virgin Mary will be able to see in our souls that now basically these are the true children. These are the children that she's been waiting for. Those who will operate the same as she was operating, to be able to see that the life that was operating in the life of our Lord Jesus now is being replicated in other souls. So that's very amazing when you stop and think that this is possible and that we are living in this time, that we are able to come and to read these books and now to be able to make a connection with the teachings of the church, and now to understand in a better way what the church has been telling us. Let's try to go to the next passage if we can.
Number 91, January 30th, 1930. My daughter, every time Eden is mentioned, my heart leaps with joy and with sorrow in remembering the way, the manner in which man was created, his happy state, his enrapturing beauty, his sovereignty, our innocent joys and his with which we delighted together. How beautiful was our child, a birth worthy of our creative hands. Remembering this is so sweet and pleasing to my heart. I cannot help leaping with joy and with love. But then, in seeing him changed in his lot, descending from his happiness into the evils of the human will, because our divine will was the safeguard against all his evils, and the preserver of the way in which he came out of our creative hands, in placing him in a contest with his creator, they, our hands, placed him in the condition of being able to give his love, his innocent joys to the one who had created him. Therefore, in seeing him unhappy, my leap of joy is followed immediately by the leap of intense sorrow. And if you knew how pleasing to me is your coming back into this Eden to place before me all the beautiful, holy, great things I did in the creation of man, you give me the contentment, the joy of letting me repeat my leap of joy, and of placing a lenitive to my leap of sorrow, which is such that if it were not followed by the sure hope that my child, by virtue of my fiat, must return to me happy, by giving me his innocent joys, as it was established by us, in creating him, my leap of sorrow would have no rest, and I would emit shouts so loud as to make even the heavens cry. And therefore, in hearing your continuous refrain, I want the kingdom of your divine will. My divine heart feels its leap of sorrow being stopped, and leaping with joy, I say, the little daughter of my will wants and asks for my kingdom. But why does she want it? Because she knows it, loves it, and possesses it. And therefore, she prays that other creatures may possess it. In fact, since my divine will is the origin of life, of the creation of man, it alone gives him the capacity to be able to receive everything from his creator and to be able to give back to him everything he wants, which he wants. My fiat has the virtue of making the conditions of man, his fortune, change. With it, everything smiles at him. All love him. All want to serve him. And they consider themselves fortunate to serve my divine will in him. That is, in the creature in whom my divine will reigns. Volume 27, January 30th, 1930.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the things that we have also to remember is that here is not only to live in the will of God. We know that, as St. Paul says in the Acts of the Apostles, I think it's in chapter 17, his famous speech, and he tells us that in God we live, we move, we have our being, in him we exist. And everybody is in the will of God just by virtue of his existence. To do the will of God is another thing, is to follow the Ten Commandments. But to live now in possession, to possess, here is not only to do the will of God, but to arrive to the point of possessing the will of God operating in us. Because remember, this is what Adam possessed, and he lost it. Now we are called to arrive to the possession of the will of God operating in us. And for this, we have to know it. There is a passage in the Book of Heaven that our Lord compares knowledge like fertilizer to the tree. That in order for the tree, for the plant to grow, it needs to be nourished, to be fertilized. He says, all this knowledge, all the things that I'm telling you, Luisa, they are like the fertilizers. They will serve to make things grow in you, so you may understand. So that's why it's so important to read, to meditate, to understand these passages, and just to spend time with them in prayer, and just asking the Holy Spirit also to guide us to, as we read these writings, that the more we know it, he himself will cause us to love it. That's in the in the Book of Heaven also, that the Lord says that whenever we read these books, these writings, he will be standing behind us with one hand in our head, another one in our heart, to cause it to understand and to love it. And the point here is to arrive to the possession of the divine will operating in us. And in here, everyone has to go in his, or to take his or her own pace. Because we have different vocations and callings in life. But the beauty of this is that everybody is called to receive this gift. Everybody. And this is exactly what the study of these books and the study of our faith should bring us to the possession of the gift of God operating in us. In the Catechism in number 2014, the Church says the following: spiritual progress tends toward ever more intimate union with Christ. So now we understand that, yes, the spiritual progress leads us always towards union with the will of God, union with Christ. And to be united with Christ is to be united with his own will, with his will. This is what the saints, they were looking for all the time, St. John of the Cross, for the union, the communion of the two wills, as Pope Benedict the 16th mentioned it, the communion of the two wills. So our spiritual progress basically can be measured by our progress in uniting ourselves with Jesus, with his will. And remember, we are called to be perfect, to the way of perfection. Now, since we lost this gift, we have to encounter suffering, pain, difficulties, because all these are part of the consequence. Now we are on the other side, living after the fall. So there is some struggle because we are in this fallen human nature that needs to be perfected through the sacraments, through our own effort, that God assist us with his grace through the sacraments, but we still have to do our own effort, that we call them virtues and all the things that we do, but everything with the grace of God, the grace of God working through our human nature. The more we dispose ourselves to receive this grace, the more we advance. But here, spiritual progress leads to the possession of the will of God operating in us. Spiritual progress should lead us to the possession of the will of God operating in us, because this is what the Blessed Mother possessed. This is what our Lord Jesus in his humanity possessed, the will of God operating in him. And in Luisa Picarreta, the will of God operating in her, because she learned how to dispose herself, and she learned this divine science through the instruction of our Lord Jesus in this revelation. So that's why it's important for us to mention all of this. And, you know, we call Luisa Picarreta a mystic, because this is what we call mystics, those who are united with the will of God. I have that numeral from the Catechism, but I lost it. So I have to give it to you sometime later. But this is what the Catechism tells us, that that's why we call them mystics. And Luisa Picarreta is a mystic, because she learned how to arrive to the possession, how to dispose herself to the possession of that will operate in her. And this is what our Lord Jesus mentions in this passage that we just read, that he feels so much joy that his heart leaps for joy. Right? And also he says, with sorrow, in remembering the way, the manner in which man was created. I think this is one of the ways also to ministry the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In that revelation given to Sister Margaret Alacoque, he desires, the message is that he desires to be constituted the King of every heart. And we see how much his heart is wounded, because that's the rightful place of God in the creature, the heart. And the Catechism refers to the heart as the, as that, that place in which God dwells. So there is nothing strange with that interpretation either, because that's how the church mentions that the heart is that is always referred as the place where God dwells in the creature. So this is what our Lord Jesus mentions, and every time that we enthrone the divine will, or that we express that intention that we want the divine will to operate in us, those, I think, the heart of our Lord Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, leaps for joy again, with joy, knowing that now the children of the divine will, they are disposing themselves to receive this gift, to allow God to operate, to allow Jesus to repeat his life in each one of us, as the Catechism says in 521, that this is possible. Everything that he did, he's able to repeat it in us and we in him. So this is a great way also to basically answer to that private revelation given to Sister Margaret Alacoque too. You see that the divine will, he mentions here that the divine will is basically the source of everything. That we could say that the divine will is our mother. That's the source of everything that exists. And at the end, it says that everybody is waiting and even feels honored to serve the creature who lives in the divine, who has the divine will reigning in her. And again, it makes perfect sense, because even we know that this is the teaching of the church, that the church teaches us in 358 in the Catechism that all creation was made for us. All creation is made for us. When we recognize that and we give thanks for that, then again we ministry the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then it says that we were made for God. So creation is our home. We are the home of God, the temple of God. And this is what happened, that we, by that choice that Adam did to depart from the will of God, basically he wanted to be God without God. And now this is where we experience the consequence. But even remembering, the Lord says that in Eden, Adam was in rapture with so much beauty And beauty is one of the attributes of God, because God is not beautiful. His beauty itself. So this is what he was given. This is the way he was sharing his life. He was giving himself everything that he is with Adam. That's why so much joy to see that innocence of Adam, that he was growing in and growing in his likeness, and that he was able to multiply those acts and to multiply that little bit of beauty that he deposited in man, as he was able to receive, he was able now to basically expand it and expand it and expand it and expand it. That little sparkle of light was able to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow in the creatures to multiply. So he was, of course, he was growing in the image and likeness of God. And that's so beautiful. I don't know, if, just to give you a very mundane example, if you do gardening and you plant little plants and you are always caring for them, watering them, covering them and all of that, and the joy that you experience to see them growing and all of that, you know, it can be also the, you know, the farmers with the animals and all of that. So there is a certain sense of joy that you see in that, that you experience. So imagine that joy that God was feeling to see his son, Adam, growing in his own image. And now also the sorrow to see that son departing. A little bit like what the gospel tells us, you know, the sorrow that the fathers experienced when the prodigal son went away. And he wanted to leave home when he departed. And also the joy that he felt when that son came back and he was able to clothe him with the best robe, with the best garment, and put on him sandals and a ring to restore him that place, that sonship in him. So it's the same with us, but now we are focusing in Adam, reading this in the life of Adam, but is what we are called to receive this gift. Because remember, this gift was not only for Adam. Adam was the depositary of this gift, and from him, all the creatures were supposed to receive this gift. And you can say, well, that's a little bit too much to believe. But if you stop and think, how is it possible that then by the fall of one man, we were able to get into all the atrocity of the human will and experience all, the Lord calls it, the evils of the human will? Well, through the death of our Lord Jesus, through his sacrifice, now we are able to receive this gift, and through him we have this participation, and now he wants to give us. So now also we understand that the work of redemption, everything that our Lord Jesus did in his humanity, that is to arrive to this point, is a preparation for the whole human race to receive the possession of the human will operating in us. So right after the fall, everything becomes a preparation to restore us to the gift that we lost. Everything becomes a preparation. If you are able to see it like that, then that will help you to even to love more this gift and to really desire this gift in you, to ask the Lord to give you that gift, to bestow upon you that gift. And there is a little phrase that the Lord mentions here that he's so happy when Luisa Picarreta says this. And therefore, in hearing your continuous refrain, I want the kingdom of your will, of your divine will. The Lord says, my divine heart fills its leap of sorrow being stopped. In leaping with joy, I say, the little daughter of my will wants and asks for the kingdom. So this is these little phrases that we encounter here, they also should help us, because this is the way Luisa Picarreta used to pray. We can say these are new prayers, a new way of praying, verbally, with our acts, with our actions, but constantly asking for the gift of the divine will to come and operate in us, to come and reign upon everybody, all the human race, upon every man, woman, child, every bishop, every priest, every brother, every community, every family, upon everybody, and to continuously ask. And this is very important. Those of you who have a special devotion for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, this is a way to console the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our Lord himself, he says, my divine heart feels its leap of sorrow being stopped and leaping with joy. And in a quiet way also, this is what every single act is saying to our Lord Jesus. In a silently way, this is what every single act is saying. Once you are in this union with the will of God operating in you. So it is all of this, as you can see, really help us to connect the teachings of the church. This is a way to console the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And to understand also that the revelation given to Sister Margaret Alacoque about the revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is also a preparation for us to arrive to the possession. Because how can you possess if you don't enthrone the will of God in you? The other revelations, even the Divine Mercy revelation, is a preparation for the possession, to arrive to the possession of the Divine Will. Because the attribute of mercy, that's an attribute of God, one of his attributes. But the Divine Will is the source, the fountain that contains all that God is. And even though he wants to give us himself, to share himself with us, he can only do it according to our own capacity. And how do we develop that capacity? By learning about this way of living, by studying it. We remember knowledge is important, and then loving it, it will cause us to love it, and then that will take us to the possession. And all the spiritual, our spiritual journey should take us to the possession. This is what even the saints before Luisa Picarreta, they were seeking already, union. So spiritual progress should lead us to the union, to the possession of the will of God in us. So let's try to finish that with the Book of Adam for today, and maybe we can go to the letter, one of the letters. I think we are in letter 29 today, or 28. 28, okay.